The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tuolaka Ogno, Tuolapa Opano, Mosesetavo, Vahi Oho, Vihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Tyler Wilson will be joining us here in a little bit. Is Nick here?
Nick,
oh, there's Nick. Well, you know, I just want, because I know that he's been battling an illness. He may have been a DMP today, but I wasn't expecting.
I'm never DMP. I had to clean some stuff up in the other room, so.
Is that a term for, like, you actually
feeling
went in there
better?
Physically cleaned?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But yeah, you're here.
You're not ill. You got an injury, right?
So I actually have a war wound, and but serious. So probably my first week on campus, I'm running up and down the court, and Michael Sanchez sets an illegal screen, and my ribs have not been the same. And he actually cracked my ribs at the time. And for some reason, I've never had trouble with my ribs at all. And now, if I don't get adjusted enough, I'll wake up. And for people that have had this before, your ribs obviously wrap around your chest all the way to your back. And I'll wake up sometimes, and it's just tough to breathe unless they adjust my ribs. So here's the thing: they adjusted them, but man, if you get adjustments, I don't know if either one of you go to the chiropractor, it don't feel better the next day. And in fact, Once you get it, it feels worse, and you're like, I just wish I would have toughed it out, because it feels a lot worse.
Day two and three, it's worth it.
Yeah, yeah. But, I never remember day two and three, because right at the time, then they put the little sorry ice pack on you and put the little sorry heat pack on you, and you're just kind of like, this ain't doing anything for me.
So send your medical bill to Michael Sanchez then.
Man.
He's the one. How do you know it was an illegal screen?
Yeah.
Well, whenever I'm running and he's running too, and he's acting like he's crack blocking, I'm not sure if that's illegal or if that's legal or illegal in basketball.
Watch where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learn the hard way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Where you're going. Well, anyways.
He played the wrong sport, by the way. Should have been defensive end.
Mm. Yeah. Proud you're here, though. Nice.
I mean, if I can't breathe, I can't breathe at home. I can't breathe in front of the computer. I can't breathe in front of the TV. And I'm a big believer in that. It's just like if my fiance is sick or any of that. Me staying home with you in bed, it's no sense in both of us being out of commission.
It's emotional support.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, either way, appreciate everybody listening in today. Lots of things going on. We're going to be joined by Scott Tabor around 8 o'clock this morning, just like we are every Friday, former Razorback pitcher, to talk a little bit about the baseball series going on this weekend, which is basically where I want to start this morning, going up against Texas A&M. Now, we've been talking about this all week long. We've understood that this is a big series, not only because you're still playing for a national seed at this point, but also it is the final home regular season series for the Razorbacks. So you're also going to have a few seniors going to be going out. I believe it's Carson Shaddy, Luke Bonfield, and Jared Gates are the seniors that are going to be being sent off in the regular season. But let's be honest, they're going to, at this point, can we go ahead and say they're for sure hosting a regional?
Oh,
I mean, no matter what happens.
Well, I mean, you'd have to go
like
0-8.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to lose
the next six, and then the first two in the SEC tournament. I'm still not sure that would get you out, because the teams you're playing are still high RPI teams, so even if you lose these games, you're not going to have a tremendous drop. So, you know, I'm not even sure if you went 0-8, in which no one believes that's going to happen. The odds of that are very slim. So, yeah, I think you can safely make plans to be in Fayetteville for the first weekend of postseason play.
Start making that
and possibly
schedule.
The second weekend. I'm still not convinced, even though their road record is in conference play has got a lot of questioning. You know, you look at it, and if you're the committee, you're like, you know, but the home record balances that out. So, you know, in the end, I still think this is a team that could play all the way through till Omaha at home.
Certainly could. And I think it's a lot of it to do with, as far as the national seed goes, and I know a lot of people say that it doesn't matter as much. Well, I think it does matter, and we've talked about the reasons that matter. Yes.
It does for this team.
Every single time.
You want them to go on the road for the Super Regional?
No.
No.
No, not in any stretch. And, you know, it's also about the matchups you'll get in that regional. Because, for instance, last year, I felt like Arkansas got maybe bad shake on it when getting Missouri State to be a part of your regional. Now, you may have been the hosting team and all that, but a lot of people felt like Missouri State should have been a team that did host their own regional. And so it's always about matchups, too, as far as the regionals go. So there's still a lot to play for, and there's still a lot of reason to try to get to that national seed. I know that Dave Van Horn probably isn't really thinking of it in it that way. He's just trying to get the series victory against Texas A&M. But it's a matter of, and Tommy, I know that we're talking about this off the air too. This is kind of the point now where Dave Van Horn's teams need to kind of get together and start playing their best baseball.
Well, what's been going on this week on campus? Well, I know you guys, this was your favorite week of any semester.
Finals.
Finals week, right? So it's been a weird week for all the students. It's been a stressful week, but for this baseball team, you've tried to stay in your routine, which you can't. Tried to practice, which you can't. I heard Dave talking with Bo yesterday. They've kind of had like almost a voluntary, hey, we're going to practice at this time if you can show up, you know, kind of deal. I mean, that makes it just kind of a weird way to prepare for such an important time. But here's what I do believe. Once all that's behind them, there's no other distraction. It's 100%. You wake up, you go to sleep thinking about baseball. You eat, sleep, and breathe baseball. That's where Dave and his teams are going to be at their best. So you're getting ready to go into that period where it's nothing but baseball, and you got it 24/7. So you wonder why Dave's teams generally finish strong, get better towards the end. I think it's because when you get him and his team, and they lock the doors and they circle the wagons, and let's use all the cliches, but it's just them against the world, I think they're I'll put Dave up against any other coach getting his team in that situation, taking on the rest of the world when there's no other distraction.
Yeah, yeah, I completely agree. I think that he's been able to show many times in his tenure at Arkansas, especially, that when it comes down to it and when you get everything going, you finally have your pieces together, you get your rotation figured out, you know exactly what to expect out of guys. It's just, okay, you have the foundation set, now let's just go 110% down the stretch and try to make things happen. Because I didn't play college sports, but I can only assume, I can only imagine that if you're in a point in time, especially when you're getting to the late season, postseason play, that if you don't have school to worry about, then that's just a huge distraction or a huge relief off your shoulders.
And
I'm talking about everything dealing with school, not just going to class, but everything going along with it.
And it's not even necessarily that it's a relief, but you turn into a professional. You know why professionals are the best at what they do? Because all they focus on is that sport. That's the only thing that they focus on. When they wake up in the morning, they focus on that sport. When they go to sleep at night, they focus on that sport. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and you are right. There are a lot of distractions that are out of the way. But a lot of coaches say if you are a basketball player, it's over Christmas break. If you are a football player, it's the bowl games. If you are a baseball player, it is the end of the year like this. A lot of coaches start talking to guys and say, okay, now this is what you all want. You're a pro now. Now you are paid to play this sport because you don't have school. You don't have to worry about any of that other stuff. And for some guys, especially in baseball, and we've talked a lot about this team, and sometimes I think they overthink it, and it's in their minds. And for some guys, maybe this will be a relief that they won't have to think about as many things going on at one time.
Yeah, because it's not just going to class and whatnot, but just even the social aspect of it all. I'm not saying that these guys won't still have friends and still hang out and all of that, But there's just going to college, especially if you're an athlete, which I'm sure a lot of people can attest to, not only if you were an athlete on campus, but if you saw athletes on campus, you know, it's a whole different lifestyle. I mean, you're especially if you're a big sport guy, if you're a baseball player, basketball player, football player, whatever it may be, you know, there's a lot of distractions and a lot of pressures and expectations that come along when you're a student there. And then once that's gone, I feel like that, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better time as an athlete. And I think that baseball players, especially in college, benefit more that from that than anything because of the timing of their sport, where it's like, it's not even like, oh, you're just going into Christmas break like you would if it was basketball or football. No, you have an entire summer. Like, you're not going to have school on your mind for another 2-3 months, period.
No, I mean, because these players will play the next 4 to 6 weeks, however long the season plays its way out, and then they'll go play summer ball, you know, Cape Cod leagues and all these wood bat leagues and all these different places that the underclassmen will go. And then the guys that are moving on that have their 3 years behind them that are going to go play pro ball will dive headfirst into that. So they're in a spot where what you were talking about, where they're going to be pros and just focus on baseball 24. That's what's ahead of them till the ones that come back to school in August.
And I think that you can't even put enough of an emphasis on that. And maybe that's something that gets undervalued a little bit too. And I understand that every school has the same setup. I mean, I'm not saying that just Arkansas special where they don't have to worry about school, because the rest of college baseball too, they don't have to worry about school too. But it's also about Dave Van Horn and his management skills and how he is able to take advantage of that opportunity, take advantage of being able to put those guys and get them as focused as possible on the task at hand. Because if you're a great team, if you want to be a great team, a national championship caliber team, we said in the beginning of the year, you have to start playing your best baseball right now. Now, they got everything figured out as far as rotations go. They started to see exactly what they can expect out of certain players, whether it's in the pitching rotation, whether it's the relief guys, maybe it's the guys that are just popping in and getting their hits. They know what to expect out of all these guys. Now it's just about focusing on putting it all together at once and getting these timely hits that they've talked about for so long. If you're going to do it, if you're going to finally get over that hump, if you're going to finally take advantage of that, now's the time to do it. You're in a position to where the rest of the way you're playing for something. So if they can start getting that way, I don't want to go on Eddie on Clarksville and everybody, but if they just start putting it all together, then you're going to have a great ride heading into postseason play. 6963 is the number to call in. It is a Fastball Friday, though, presented by Harry Robinson.
Hey, state sales tax paid on every new vehicle on the lot now through the 15th. So you got this weekend and into early next week to take advantage of state sales tax paid on every new Buick and every new GMC that's on the lot, including Buick Encores at $299 a month right now, plus your state sales tax paid. So get by there this weekend. You'll save thousands of dollars and get more for your trade. State sales tax paid on every new Buick and GMC on the lot at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Take me out to the ball game. Take
this is Fastball Friday on... Follow the Morning Rush on Twitter, at Morning Rush Show. This is the Morning Rush.
It is Fastball Friday, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. Get by this weekend. They got some deals that are only good through the first half of the month. You don't want to miss Yukon Denalis and Yukon XL Denalis. 10% off MSRP plus state sales tax paid. And state sales tax paid on every new vehicle on the lot. That's good through the 15th. Deal on the Yukon's good through the 14th. Of May. Get by for Mother's Day weekend at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Hey, you know what this Sunday is, don't you, Tommy?
Mother's Day.
Good. Okay, you remember.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a friendly reminder to all of you listening that if you didn't know, this Sunday is Mother's Day. Hey, this Sunday's Mother's Day, and that's kind of an important holiday to remember. And I know that it's something that's
more important to not forget than remember.
Well, yeah. I mean, because there's certain holidays out there that are, I know for personally people, like anniversaries and birthdays and all that stuff. But yeah, Mother's Day is definitely one of those things too.
The bad thing about Mother's Day is, I mean, and the good thing is it's all about mom and we're going to take care of our wives and our moms. The bad thing is moms aren't supposed to do any cooking on Mother's Day, right? We're supposed to take them out. We're supposed to do all the cooking. We're supposed to make sure they relax and don't have to do anything. But some of the best things mom does for us is cook, right?
That's right.
And mom ain't going to do none of the cooking this weekend. That's the problem, right? We're not going to give you mama's cooking.
I don't know how you... I guess because all the times I'm thinking back on Mother's Day, a lot of times we just took her out.
Yeah. Mother's Day is like, for a lot of restaurants, like the busiest day of the year.
I believe it.
No, I think it's we need to celebrate mom's cooking.
Exactly.
There you go.
Yeah,
what's the favorite?
I'm with you, Tyler. I'm with you, Tyler.
What's y'all's favorite thing your mom makes?
Oh, man, it's going to be tough. My mom makes some mean chicken and dumplings.
That sounds good.
But I will say, though, that it's like my mom did a lot of cooking, too. But actually, my dad did most of the cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But, my mom, she always had these like little specialty things that she'd make. The chicken and dumplings are probably my favorite.
My mom makes some chicken spaghetti. That is unbelievable.
Man, you guys are right in the wheelhouse. Chicken and dumplings, chicken spaghetti. Those were my first two picks. That's why you never go third. You never bat third.
And my mom taught me how to make chili. She's pretty good on the chili, too. But yeah, her chicken spaghetti, she could only make me one meal. When she makes it, she'll make like 10 times more than you need, and then we'll put them in casserole dishes and freeze them for later.
And spaghetti.
That's how good it is.
And spaghetti's actually even better the second time around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the few dishes
that as you're eating it, you're like, man, this is going to be so good tomorrow.
Something exactly. About her chicken spaghetti that's just different than everybody else's.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's weird, too, for me because there was a lot of the side dishes my mom made, too. So it's like it wasn't like the actual meals. But the thing that the rest of my family love and think it's the best meal she makes, but I don't like. I don't like meatloaf. And my entire family thinks that she loves that they all love the meatloaf. They think it's the best meatloaf around, which, okay, that's fine. But I don't like meatloaf. So it's like I feel kind of stupid because my mom's best dish I don't like.
Tell you another thing my mom makes. You could sell it in stores good as her baked beans. Like when I do cookouts.
My mom does that too, yes.
When if I'm inviting everybody over and I've smoked a brisket or cooking ribs or whatever, I'm doing on a weekend. Mom always brings the baked beans because her baked beans. And she's one of these that she don't have a recipe card.
Nope.
She just got the way she makes it. And
it's
in her head.
It's upstairs.
And there's a little bit of this.
And you can't,
ask
her, why do you make your beans?
And it's not like she won't tell you. It's just, I put a handful of brown sugar and then I put this.
The thing is, it may never be the same twice.
It's just
a feeling. And like at that moment, she's like, I want to add a little bit of this. Don't let me get to trying to feel it.
No.
It's going to be like those beans we had in Oklahoma City.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going the best dish that my mom makes. And then, too, the one person that your mom can never cook better than, though?
Grandma.
Your grandma. Oh, man.
Facts.
But the one dish I'm going with my mother is cowboy cornbread.
What's the difference between cowboy cornbread?
Did it have the jalapenos in it or
everything? Then certain people don't like it, and certain people like different things. So what my mom will do is, as she's fixing it, this corner will contain the jalapeno, and like this corner over here may not, and it may have something else in it. And Tyler, and the difference is in cowboy cornbread, it's everything. It has meat. It has onions. Just anything that you can think of to put inside cornbread.
Throw it in there.
It has all that in there, and it may be the best dish in the world to me because I love cornbread. I love all the other things that are put in there. Mm. And then for dessert, my grandma makes a strawberry pie and a lemon cake, and both of them are just, man.
Interesting.
Now, Mother's Day's a great weekend, but
it is.
If you follow through and mom's not supposed to do any of the cooking, that we all get robbed,
Yeah. Because we gotta go pay one.
Yeah.
Stand in line two.
Yeah. Stand in line
and it's not gonna be as good as mom.
And we get food that's not nearly as good.
Nope. Tyler, I'm with you. I think we need to celebrate Mother's Day by having mom cook some of her food.
For 24 hours. It needs to be like the ESPN, how they do their 24-hour the basketball deal, it needs to be mother's cooking for 24 straight hours. Mm. And then
just straight Paula Deen on
right. And they can take the next week off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's how it works. See,
all in favor?
And then in a month, we're going to get to Father's Day, and no one gets to go out. Everybody expects Dad to do the grilling and the cooking on Father's
Day. That's right. That's right.
Hey, Dad, when you're done mowing the yard, can you cook us a steak for Father's Day?
Yeah. Well, see, and that's what's funny is because my dad's weird like that, where he is the type where it's like, if it's like, Dad, you know, it's your birthday or Father's Day or whatever, you know, let us take. No. He would rather him go out and he will cook. He will do it all because it's like his relaxation. Like, that's what he does.
Hey, I understand
and
that.
So,
I get it.
Yeah, and it's just different because my mom, you know, she could take it or leave it. She can cook, of course, if she wanted to, but she also likes to go out. My dad's like, no, I'd rather just I make the meal just like it would be every other time, and everybody knows what's good because we know what to expect.
Well, it justifies why there is Father's Day, right?
That's right.
Give some justification. I do deserve a Father's Day because I'm one. I'm going to pull all this off. So,
yeah, and I think the most difficult thing for me, though, is that my mom's birthday is usually on Father's Day or around that time, and then my dad's birthday is usually around Mother's Day.
Oh, so his is it coming up or just
it's coming up? I mean, it's not up? It's not directly. I think it's May 26th. Actually, okay, is what the date is. So I mean,
Memorial
it's close
Day
to
weekend,
it. Yeah, so it's usually Memorial Day weekend, but yeah, so you always have that dynamic with it as well. But I know I just think it's so cool though. And how, I mean, of course, you have to these days if you know, to show your appreciation for Mother's Day or whatnot, you have to take to social media, make sure you post a picture of your mom, you and your mom, and you know, send her a card, send her a phone call, whatever, text message, whatever it needs to be to make sure you show your appreciation for your mom. Because I don't know where I'd be without my mom, and I'm sure you guys are the same way, too. I mean, it'd probably be in a bad way.
I'd give anything for a bowl of that chicken spaghetti right now. Right now.
Dude, man, yeah. See, again, how do we do this? We start talking about food, and it's right around this time every single day. Then Nick just goes, man, I'm starving. And then we just like, and then it's just kind of snowballs from there. So, but home cooked meal, now you got even worse, though, because that's not like just going out and getting breakfast. Like, we're talking about home cooked meals now. And being away from home, I don't get them as often. That was the nice thing about being a student in Fayetteville, where you grew up in Fayetteville.
You could run across town.
Oh, yeah. Drive across the street and get you some free food that way. So, but happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I wanted to kind of make that happen and show our appreciation for everyone out there as well. 877-377-6963 is the number to call in. This is the Morning Rush, and we're going, before we get to that, got to get to Gaston's.
Well, you know, one thing you could do for mom this weekend, if you're looking for some place to take mom, some place to treat mom to a great lunch, how about Gaston's White River Resort, particularly for those that live in, you know, Baxter County, Boone County, Marion County, up in that area. It's a simple, quick drive. But maybe you're looking for a place to spend the weekend. There's still room for you at Gaston's, 870-431-5202. Call and make a reservation whether you're going just for lunch or maybe you want to go for the weekend. They could probably still get you in as quick as tonight and for the weekend at Gaston's. Get you hooked up with one of their great guides. But they're going to have a wonderful Mother's Day brunch on Sunday. So if you're still trying to figure out where to treat mom on Sunday, Gaston's is the place to take mom and the crew for a wonderful Sunday brunch. Call for your reservations, 870-431-5202 for Gaston's White River Resort. Join them for Mother's Day this Sunday at Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time, every time.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tualaka Ogno, Tualapa Opono, Mosesetovo, Bahi Ono, Vihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft, John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason, Tyler Wilson, all with you today. Thank you for making us a part of your morning this morning. We're going to get to Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher, here in just a second. But first, it is a Fastball Friday presented by Harry Robinson.
State sales tax paid on every new vehicle on the lot. This is through May 15th, so you got this weekend for Mother's Day. No better way to treat mom than to a brand new Buick or brand new GMC. You can do that and get state sales tax paid at Harry Robinson Buick GMC. You'll save thousands of dollars, get more for your trade, and state sales tax paid on every new vehicle on the lot at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Let's go to the phone lines as we are joined by Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher. Friend of the show, joins us every Friday to talk a little Razorback baseball. Scott, as always, appreciate you joining us. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you. Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, it is. Thankfully, it's starting to get a little consistency in the weather. And it's going to be a great weekend for Arkansas baseball, taking on Texas A&M in their final regular season home series finale. It's obviously they're still playing for a national seed and all that. But I guess I want to start with, because this is something you have experience with, playing Texas A&M. I know they're the SEC team now, but there's a lot of history between Arkansas and Texas A&M. Just back in your day when you were able to play against these guys, I mean, did you have any feelings or anything special but or unique towards Texas A&M, or was it just another team on the schedule that you had to take care of? Because, see, I think Texas A&M is weird. I can't stand Texas A&M, and I'm just wondering what your thought is on it.
I'm only laughing because coming into the Southwest Conference, I didn't know anything about college baseball, and all I could ever remember about the Aggies were that they were Aggies, and so I had no fear or respect for them whatsoever. And the first time we went down there my freshman year, and I'm pitching against them, and I shut them down. And I did so well in the last game of the series that they started me against them in the conference tournament that year, and shut them down on that. And they were one of the top five teams in the country, but I just had no respect for them. I thought they're Aggies. I knew they had Aggied up somehow, and so I always had a lot of success against them. But they have a very good and very storied program. Their old field, I don't even remember the name of it, but it was just the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. As far as their natural turf, because their agriculture department took care of the field, and I had never seen grass like that. Still, they're a great program.
It's been a weird week for Dave Van Horn's program because you've had a finals week going on. So players have had weird schedules taking finals. Just listening to Dave yesterday and talking about practices, we're on a weird schedule. Now you get ready for it in your final regular season homestand. But you get the monkey off your back of classes, and now you can just focus
exactly
on baseball. And I don't think there's any better coach out there that once he gets his players and there's nothing but baseball 24/7, this is why Dave's teams always seem to finish strong, Scott, is he's really good at circling the wagons once all the other distractions are out of the way.
Well, you're right on the first part is the school is over, and so now there's not the daily grind of having to get up and study and then try to go get some weights in and try to get some hitting in and then going and taking a final and then stressing over that a little bit because you have to make your grades to play. So it's not like they're just given to you. So that's just one extra load off your mind, and now it's just baseball. It's just that. It's a great, great, great time. The students have left. I remember when we were there and the students were gone, school's out, we got to all go eat at the dorms were closed, so we all got to go eat at a restaurant called Jerry's, and that was a big treat, the best biscuits and gravy I'd ever had. So that was just fun. I mean, and then they're near into the postseason, and then you're, because it's just you and your buds, just you and the guys, you and all your dudes, and it's a great, great time. It's just kind of like Little League. It's just baseball at that point.
Speaking with Scott Tabor, a former Razorback pitcher here on the show right now. As Scott, looking in this weekend, it looks like the starters are going to be the same guys. They're going to be rolling with Blaine Knight on Friday, and then Casey Murphy, then Isaiah Campbell. I know they have some guys coming in for relief. Who knows? Maybe Matt Cronin. I know that.
Supposed
to be back Sunday, but we'll have to wait and see on that. Just from what you've seen, of course, so far this season with the pitching rotation, the guys coming in, and this looks like the guys are going to be rolling with. Is this a group that you feel like confident enough going forward and that they're settled in and they're going to start having some real success here in the postseason play?
Yeah, I do. The guys that they've rolled with pretty much all season, are proving certain things. You know, some things are good, some things are bad. You know, I think Campbell is still proving to be the great unknown. You know, who's going to show up on that particular day, how many innings you're going to get out of him, what kind of consistency he's going to have. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of the young guns, one of the young freshman arms that just have great arms and have kind of been a little iffy here and there. I wouldn't be surprised to see one of them come up in this last end of the season and into the postseason, turn into a diamond in the rough. You know, the guy that they expect them to be. See Bonin or Scroggins or Bold and Lowski, you know, come up and just every time they come in, just be locked down. It seems like that happens when you're having a good season and all of a sudden it turns into a great season. It's because of little things like that. But I think, the fact that Blaine's kind of been getting an early hook, you know, he's still having a fantastic season, but his innings, he's got 68 innings, for goodness sake. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. So he's rested. You know, I think their arms, their main arms are rested because they've had the luxury of bringing some kids in out of the bullpen and not have to throw their starters, you know, like we used to have to do. We expected to go nine. You know, they're expected to go five or six, and it's a great day. So I just think it'll be great to see who's going to rise to the occasion and be the guy there at the end of the season.
Former Razorback Scott Tabor with us here on the Morning Rush. Do you think this team is feeling any pressure, talking about the pressure of winning the division, trying to capture one of those top eight national seeds? There's a lot to play for in these final six regular season games.
You know, as a player, you have a tendency to not sit back like we all do and say, what if they do this and this and this and this could happen and this can happen? I think as a player, they're just, like I said, happy to be out of school for one thing. And then it's just baseball. I think having Shaddy back is the biggest boost in the arm they could get this time of season because they've been a couple of series without him at all, you know, in a leadership role and with his stick. He came in Sunday, you know, fresh off of a forever rest and goes 2-for-4. So getting that stick back in the lineup helps, gives Van Horn a little bit more to work with. I don't think they're feeling any pressure, because if they would have been feeling any pressure, they would have been feeling it all year because they've had a target on their back. I think what they have to do is take care of this weekend. I think they need to come into this series looking like they can really, really lock it down. If they can sweep this weekend at home, go on the road and take one, maybe take one next week, I think they're a lock for a top eight seed.
Experience goes a long way in a lot of sports, and people try to break down exactly what it means. But just on the baseball side of things, a few of these guys that are on the team, they've been to the postseason play, maybe even the College World Series. How big of a factor is that, having that experience of knowing what it takes to get and how to focus in on the postseason play when you get to that point? How important is that for some of these guys to be able to really have that experience?
I think it's really big. In my experience, it was big for us. My freshman year, when we went to the World Series and should have won the whole thing, it was new to everybody, you know, new to our coaching staff. I mean, everything was, you know, what do we do today and what do we do? What time do we practice and where do we go? And so having a staff that's experienced in it and having some players that have been there and done that, you know, Shaddy and Bonfield have been to the series. I think the other guys will look to them, you know, how do we act and where do we go and how big should our eyes be? And I don't think they see anything as being too big. These freshmen are now no longer freshmen. They played enough games, got enough at-bats, and got enough innings under their belt that they're no longer freshmen. But going into some of the big, you know, some of the big venues and tournament time and what have you, it changes your attitude a little bit. Everything's just a little bit louder, and the fans are a little bit rowdier, and, you know, they have to work their way past that. But once they step on the field, I don't think it'll be a big deal.
Yeah. And obviously, Baum Stadium has been very good to this team. It's the final weekend at Baum Stadium. Senior Day and Mother's Day weekend, so I would imagine there's a little extra emphasis on the fact that you probably feel like you're not playing there for the last time this season, but you know it's the last regular season weekend.
Right, and the weather's going to be great.
Yeah, perfect.
You know, this time of year is great because everything is kind of coming together. You get the end of school and you get the postseason play and the last few things, and we're in the hunt. We're in the lead in the league in the Western Division, and so all those things come into play. And from the fans' point of view, you know, the biggest thing is the weather. Nobody likes to go sit in a nice, cold, freezing game. They want to come out in nice weather, and they seem to be louder, and the outfield guys get a little bit happier, and the beer flows a little bit heavier, and it's just a lot better atmosphere. So it should be a big weekend. It should be a great weekend.
I would imagine tonight and Saturday, I don't know about Sunday being Mother's Day, but I would imagine tonight and Saturday are going to be 10,000 plus easy, you know, maybe push
closer
to 12.
Yeah, and even Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day, there are a lot of mothers out there that really, really love baseball. And going to a game on Mother's Day and getting treated to dinner afterwards, is, you know, that's not a bad day for all you mothers that really like baseball. Hint,
yeah.
Hint.
Yeah, there could be a lot worse days out there, no doubt about it.
Is that what is that what your wife asked for this Sunday?
It's a funny thing you're asking. Yeah, she said, you know, for Mother's Day, I would love to. Is it that or Hawaii? I can't remember which one. Yeah.
Watch out for it volcanoes.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Seriously. Well, Scott, we'll end on this one. I want to ask you this because we've gotten a perspective from the football side of things, of course, with Tyler on the show and then with Nick on the show from the basketball side. I want to get the baseball side of things. We've talked a lot about culture and how culture is important in a locker room, what's set by the coaches, by the staff, by the organization, whatever it may be, and how important it is to be successful. You can have a lot of talent, but if you don't have a healthy and good culture in your locker room, you're not going to go very far with it. From the baseball side, how important is it having a good, healthy culture in the locker room, and what does it do for a program?
It's everything. Winning, you hear all the time, winning breeds winning, and that's true. You know, your expectations of winning after you have already won and then you go into your next season, your expectations are higher than they were the year before. So high expectations breed success. And so these kids went into this season knowing that they had high expectations. They knew that they had the opportunity, and the kids on the field and the new guys coming in, if they could blend all of that, they're going to have some success. And so I think they've kind of held true to that all year, even when they get beat, even when they get swept, they're not getting blown out. I couldn't think of one or two games this year that they really just absolutely just got the brake pads knocked off of them. It just didn't happen. So all of their games, they've been in just about all their games, and that's really all you can ask, because in baseball, as in any sport, it's a play here and a play there that costs you the game, either win you the game or lose you the game. So coming into this last end, I think they're right where they need to be as far as culture. The coaches set the standard. The coaches create the culture, and the senior leadership on teams and the guys who've been there and understand the culture pass that down to the younger kids. And I think from things that you see and talking to some of the kids, you know, they all believe in each other and they all trust each other. And whoever's going in, there's no negative cheerleading. You know, it's everybody's for everybody. And that helps tremendously. You just don't have any bickering in the locker room about playing time, or, you know, why can't I get more innings, or, you know, I need to play first base because I'm hitting 220, so I'm due. You know, there's just none of that. It doesn't seem like there's any of that. There's at least on paper the stuff that we hear about. So I'm proud of them. Proud of their the culture that they've created.
Yeah, whatever they're doing, it's definitely working out for Dave Van Horn and his squad.
If you just watch them, you know, if you just watch their demeanor on the field, I mean, there's a lot of love and a lot of happiness and having a lot of fun, you know, and that's part of the sports. I mean, you can't just grind it out like you're going to the office every day. They go try to take care of business, but they have fun doing it, and there's a lot to be said for that.
No question about it. Scott Tabor, former Razorback pitcher, always appreciate you joining us, Scott. Great stuff. We'll catch up with you next week, my man.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
877-377-6963. We'll get to more of the show on the other side. This is The Morning Rush.
Honest Razorback talk that never yields. This is The Morning Rush. Razorback videos, articles, and podcasts. Find them all at hitthatline.com. This is The Morning Rush.
Welcome back into The Morning Rush. It's that time of the day where we get into our on-the-spot question of the day, presented by Washington Regional.
World-class stroke care available in Northwest Arkansas at Washington Regional. If you have sudden weakness, numbness, or problems with walking or speech, all possible signs of a stroke, call 911 and get to Washington Regional. Proud to be the first hospital in Benton, Boone, Carroll, Madison, and Washington counties to earn advanced certification as a primary stroke center. Learn more online about world-class stroke care at wregional.com.
And the on-the-spot question of the day, something we talked about in the very beginning of the show, but thanks to Officer Breeding bringing us drinks, kind of had to take a curve a little bit about Kevin Richardson getting his sixth year of eligibility returning to the Razorbacks this upcoming football season, kind of taking the John Neighbors track of college.
You know, the Cody Walker plan.
Yeah, the Cody Walker plan as well. He's returning, obviously, as a guy that was one of the better players on the defensive side of the ball the past few seasons. And I guess the question can only be, what type of impact is that going to have actually on the Razorbacks this season? Is it a major impact? Is it a huge thing? Or did it really matter one way or the other as far as on-the-field success?
Hey, Tyler, I got to ask you a question to answer this question. Whenever y'all were going over game plans of the next week and y'all were a passing offense, would y'all look for guys to pick on? Because I know, as being a basketball player, our coaching staff would look at the weaker defenders and try to run pick and rolls to where that weak guy got on one of our better offensive guys, and they would pick on this guy throughout the entire game. So did y'all look for, like, a nickelback or a starting corner that was a weaker guy, and did y'all prey on that, or did you, as a quarterback, prey on that throughout the game?
All day long. We, you know, one of the things I think that's so maybe underrated is your ability to dissect your opponent's weaknesses. And, you know, I know that was something we always went after, but especially in an up-tempo offense, like what you're going to see with Chad Morris, and you saw this a little bit in the spring game, when they do the hurry-up plays and they're running, you know, 5 and 6 and 7 play calls in a row where you know, you've got your offense coordinator and he's barely, you know, he's thinking on the run. He's calling it, you know, off the top of his head. A lot of those are multiple plays in a row where you're throwing the ball down the field against a D-back and you're subbing wide receivers in. The DBs aren't subbing, but your wide receivers are. So you'll have a package where you've got 2 or 3 runners in a row where you're running them, you know, 20 and 30 and 40 yards down the field. He's got 4 sprints in a row, and you're attacking the weak spot every single time with fresh legs, because by the time he's, you know, 40 yards down the field, he's taking a right-hand turn, leaving the sideline, and you got your next guy coming in, and here we're coming at you again. And, you know, that's what's really, I think, really good about the up-tempo offense, is you don't get with, you know, some of the systems and some of the things that you've seen previous, you know, with what you saw last year. You always let the DB put his hands on his hips and get a 20-second breather,
right?
30-second breather. And that's not what they're not going to think that way with this group. And I love that. And you attack the weak spots, and a lot of times cornerback's one of them.
And you know, in saying that, you don't necessarily have to have 6 starters, but you need 6 defensive backs that you can put on the field, and you're not covering your eyes going, oh, man, I don't know what's going to happen. Now,
but
when I say
6,
I mean the safety. Correct. And so adding another guy that can go out there that – knows what's going on, because, and once again, they're going to change defensive schemes again. So just having an older guy, another guy that can go out there, I consider him a playmaker. He had a couple interceptions last year, 50 or 60 tackles. So just having another guy that you can count on and you're not worried about, another guy that the defense is not going to be like, oh, wow, we're going to pick on this guy throughout the entire game. I think that's big for the secondary.
You know, I got a 5th year. I got a medical red shirt, so I'm familiar with granted extra years, and I'm not. But you know, in just in the maturity factor of a 6th year guy, I know there's been a few of them, but Chase Keenum's one of them. He was granted a 6th year, but the maturity factor of a 6th year player is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think as a coach, it's almost like you get an extension of your coaching staff on the field, and I think that's a blessing here to have a 6-year.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, just the age factor, the maturity factor. Mm-hmm. You're a different person at 20, what would it be, 24, 23, 24 versus, you know, obviously 17, 18, 19. It's almost like one of these guys that goes and plays professional baseball, then comes back and picks up his football career. Mm-hmm. They're just a different cat out there because they're just in a different place. I mean, the person you are at 19 or 20 is not the same person you are at 24 or 25. So that 5th or, in this rare case, 6th year player is just going to have a little more between the ears, you'd assume.
Yeah, at 24 years old, you're playing with some 17-year-olds. I mean, that's just – there's so many advantages to that, not only just what you know of the game. I mean, that's the one of the things everybody talks about. Well, the NFL, they're so much faster and they're so much stronger. No, they're in some cases they are stronger. In some cases they are faster. But really, the older you get, the slower you get. So you know, those guys that are young and coming in, those guys can run. But the difference is being able to, the understanding of actually what we're doing. I mean, the comprehension level of an older player is just so much better, and they can think better and be an extension to the staff. And that's where you get the difference between the NFL and guys that are older and younger. As a rookie walking in, I mean, you're just you're trying to grasp everything. And that's why guys like Charles Woodson have made a 17 plus 18, 19 year career out of playing, because they've been able to be experienced and their bodies have held up. And that's obviously the exception, but you know, a 6 year here, I think is definitely an advantage on the defensive side that needs that maturity.
And I think it's big too, especially when you have a transition of a coaching staff, you know, because these guys are new to these players. The players are new to this staff. And so you're kind of having that awkward get to know each other. They didn't recruit a lot of these players. They don't really know these players personally. So you have that transition. I think having a player like a Kevin Richardson in this case, for instance, who's been around the program for as long as he has, it's nice to at least have that to lean on, to where, hey, he's been around here longer than anybody. He can kind of be that leader too, not only on the field, but also be that connection that the staff can rely on him to lead, and also have a connection with some of the players as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a staff, anytime they come in, they go, who are some guys that we trust, guys that have been around, but still buy in and can be the guys that, you know, create that culture that we've been talking about really all week. And, you know, sometimes that's an older guy. Sometimes it's not an older guy because they've had their loyalties to somebody different. But a guy like this, especially, and some of these older players that, man, they got one shot left. They got one more season left. You know, the loyalty factor, or what I knew previous, none of that matters, because you've got one shot left to give it everything you've got and play at the highest level of college football. And so it doesn't matter who your coach is. You're gonna one, cherish the opportunity that you got it, and they granted you a sixth year, and go out and give it everything you got. That's my opinion. So I think coaches would cherish a guy like this, and I think the guy would cherish, you know, an opportunity and the coaches that he's got in front of him.
And in Kevin's case, he's missing a couple of years of film for anyone at the next level to evaluate. You know, but due to injury, he doesn't have that film to show. So this is your. This is the only film they're going to look at. They're not going back and looking at stuff from 3 and 4 years ago. That these 12 tapes are what's going to determine whether or not you get to play at the next level or not.
That's right.
And he also added
the only thing's going to determine.
And he also added the fact that he's joining in a defensive unit with the backfield that might be one of the strengths of this team as far as experience goes. Now, again, we know that there's a lot of issues among the teams and there's holes and all that, but having Santos Ramirez, having Ryan Pulley, having Kevin Richardson, I mean, that as far as you're looking for silver linings in a unit that may not have a lot of talent, that might be one of the more talented units on this team.
And there are people out there that think that Callaway and Pulley both are going to be playing on Sundays.
Yeah.
When's the last time you had two corners, two young corners at the same time on a Razorback football team that you thought of those guys were going to be able to play at the next level?
What, Tevin Mitchell's the last one that went, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
and you said two. So.
Yeah, I mean,
two.
Chris Houston way back when, too, right, who was pretty good. I mean, you had some guys that, you know, kind of in and out. And that was the thing about, too, is that I think Arkansas had some decent cornerbacks as far as on the college level, but never the elite level NFL caliber ones, at least at a lot. They've had safeties, right, you know, they've had linebackers, right, but never really any cornerbacks.
And Tevin Mitchell also, too, wasn't a starting guy. He was a nickel guy.
Right.
And which, don't get me wrong, you need everything now because people are throwing out their five wide, but it's a difference in when you look up and people saying that Ryan Pulley is one of the better corners in the league, and he is a starting corner.
Well, let's, before we hop out of here, this is big for John Chavis too, because
for sure,
you know, for being new, being a transition, there are plenty of critics for John Chavis, and will be sharper on this defense than they will on the offense with the criticism. So having another experienced hand around, having another player, having just some more depth is big for John Chavis, because you know, the first time they have a busted play and give up a long score, you know, people are going to be calling our phones. People are going to be hitting us up on Twitter, because there are plenty of people out there that are not sold on John Chavis. So maybe one more experienced player might be the difference in that guy getting loose for six or not.
Yeah,
less time in the year. It's not that they're going to hold anybody scoreless, but but you know, one more experienced hand ain't going to hurt.
That's right. Yeah. It's not going to hurt anybody. I think, especially with you need as many players as you can right now. Let's be honest. Absolutely.
Brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. Springtime means camping time at Crabtree RV, and they want to help make your family's dreams come true. Be a great weekend to get out. You keep your sales tax refund in your pocket, because zero money down get you into the right RV for your next outdoor adventure. And right now, you can skip payments for 90 days, and payments start as low as $138 a month. Get all the details at Crabtree RV in Alma. Next to the Cracker Barrel, it's Crabtree RV, where your family's dreams come true.
Coming up next, we're going to close up shop, get into some storylines. Don't want to miss it. This is the Morning Rush.
The voice of Razorback fans across Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues next.
State sales tax paid.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.